Before we share some thoughts on today's words, the Word of God, today's scripture readings, I just want to share with you some of the experience of this time that I had with my family. It was 2 years that I didn't go to visit. My dad was not doing well since last September. He had kidney failure and had to start dialysis, but he was not doing so well. But my sister kept insisting me. I wanted to go down and to visit him last October, but they said, no, wait for your vacation time that I could spend more time. And so I did. And I had prepared, I was planning, I had some dreams, and for my birthday, my 50th, I said, I want to do something different. What I planned to do, and before getting home, just 2 days before, I got to the city of São Paulo to run a street race, which is not a marathon, not even a half marathon. Don't be impressed, you know, it's not like that. It's 15K, but it's good enough, you know. So I was with other 31,000 people racing that street race. And for those who are curious, my number of how I got there, I didn't get to the podium. Only five did. And my number was 13,925. That was my placement. I had the curiosity of going online and checking that. But 31, I did, you know, like the first 50, you know, percent of the good feeling of finishing a race. And that was the 31st, December 31st in the morning. And then in the evening, I got home. It's an hour flight from São Paulo. So I got home on the evening of the 31st and spent New Year's with my dad and the families that I have living there close to him. And New Year's Day, we spent together. It's summertime. We had a barbecue. We were outside. My dad was with us. And then on January 2nd, that day, he didn't feel well in the morning. So my brother and myself took him to the hospital. And since then, he was taken to the ICU. And that was Tuesday. And he passed away on the Saturday. So happened that week, the pastor of my home parish is just a small town, and there's only one parish with one pastor. Of course, when they know that I am coming, they take their vacation. So I had the parish, you know, I was the pastor there for that 10 days, that weekend, and he died on the Saturday afternoon. And it is our custom to bury within 24 hours of death, so there is no time of preparing or anything. So I had to say the masses, regular masses in the parish, which were only two, not that many. And then on Sunday afternoon, also the funeral mass for my dad, and the burial was on Sunday at 5, around 5 p.m. or so. At summertime, it was still sunny. I come from a family of 7 siblings. I have 4 sisters, and I have other 2 brothers. And we were all there. We all had the chance to say goodbye to our dad. I think he was waiting for me to get home. I was the only one far away. All my sisters and brothers, they were there. And he was waiting, I think, for me to come home. And I was glad. I think I was blessed to be there at this moment. And it's also a tradition for us that since it is so, everything happens so fast, and we have sometimes less than 24 hours. The mass that is said 7 days, a week after the burial or the death, is also a very memorial mass. And I said that mass in between every night. My family, my brothers and sisters, and my nieces and nephews, we would gather and pray the rosary in the home. That's the 7 days that we keep as prayer. And it is a sad moment. Yes, of course it is. My dad, we were preparing for his 80th birthday. It was this January, the past January 24th. He passed away before our celebration that we were prepared, but which would have been last Sunday, the 28th. But we gathered on the 28th and we had our feast, you know, to celebrate his life. And I received so many signs of kindness and sympathy these days that I am really blessed that I was there 5 years ago when almost 5 years ago when my mother passed away. I was also in Brazil, not visiting family. I was there because of Worthy Day when we had in Rio. I took my former parish, I took 12 youth with me, and I didn't go home. I stayed with them. And when I was at the airport in Rio de Janeiro to fly back to Miami, I got the news that my mother had passed away. So I did not come back. I had the time to also be in her wake and say the funeral mass, funeral mass for your mom or for your dad, but there was no other priest around there, so I had to do that. But God is great, and God gives us the strength to do that. And one day we'll all be together in a big feast in heaven. So I thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to be, especially with my sisters and brothers at this moment, and nieces and nephews. I think it was, though sad, though painful loss, but a beautiful moment of faith. And having said that, I didn't need to say that, but just to share with you, you're my family too, so I think it's an opportunity that I have to share with you that. I see in today's readings, first reading from the book of Job, beautiful book in the Old Testament. You know, Job, he didn't know what was going on behind the scene, if you know a little of the story. We know that Job was a very good man, faithful to the Lord, who always, you know, tried to live a life that would be according to God's law. He didn't know that God and the devil were betting against each other and say, because the devil came to the Lord, to God, and said, you know, the job, he is so faithful because he has everything. Who wouldn't be? And God says, no, his faith is genuine. And the devil said, well, let us take away everything and see what happens, if he's going to stay faithful. And God said, well, don't touch his life. Everything else you can touch. And so happened that if you read the book, kind of 4 or 5 verses, he loses everything, family, property, whatever he had, richness, he loved everything. And we know it's famous, his sentence, God has given me, God has taken, praise be the name of God. So he always remained faithful. But of course, in that faithfulness, there will be time that you would say, why is all this? Why is everything happening? He had some friends who tried to explain, they didn't know less than he did. They didn't help at all. But he keeps on saying, why? Why so much pain? Why so much suffering in this? And in the gospel, we kind of find some answers. You know, we are still in the beginning of the Mark's gospel, still the first chapter. And Mark starts with Jesus' ministry. The birth of Jesus is not written by Mark. So he began the ministry and Jesus preaching at the synagogue and expelling the demons, the evil spirits of people. It's very common to see that they were not understanding anything. What is going on? What is happening? You know, if we read the Gospel of Mark, we will be amazed and see how many times Jesus performs a miracle, or he expels a demon, and we'll say that his disciples, they did not understand what Jesus was doing. And we'll keep on saying that and said, why is that? They did not understand. You know, it's not that the Lord was doing something that it was hidden. Even now, we see that he came out of the synagogue where he had expelled the demon out of a man who was suffering. And then he heals Peter's mother-in-law, who was with a fever. And it's interesting that the fever left her and she waited on them. We might say, well, that's where, you know, she was a homemaker, probably. That's what she should do, wait and serve the people. But I think that's not the point. I think she understood what's the reason of her healing. It's service. And service here is something beyond of just the, you know, whatever she had to do in her home. And then after Jesus goes away healing and people come, and Peter says, you know, Lord, everybody's looking for you. Where have you been? You spend the night by yourself. You know, everybody's looking. And Jesus said, let's go somewhere else. And we ask, don't he want it to be popular? Did he want to know where he was or what he was doing? Well, Jesus wanted people to know what he was doing. But he wanted people to come and join him and become a disciple in a way that they would have that experience of him. He was not a showman. He was not doing miracles so people could applaud, could come to the, you know, to the center square of the town and say, oh, let's see, have some entertainment, bring all those who need some healing. No. He says, whoever wants to must encounter him. And I believe in today's gospel, that's Peter's mother-in-law, Simon Peter's. When Jesus touches her, I think she understood. The healing, you know, that fever is the moment that the fever went away and she could wait and she could really serve, represents that all illnesses, everything that was blocking her was not there anymore. I guess Job, as we saw, had lots of that fever, that anguish that needs some healing. Perhaps we, in our own lives, there are moments that we have our own fevers. You know, we might be annoyed, we might be, I don't know, kind of depressed, kind of mad at the world and at people. That's the time, perhaps, we have to allow the Lord to come to us, to touch us as he touched that woman, so that all those fevers that we carry on in ourselves, we can release them or allow the Lord to do that for us. And then we can serve. And how we serve? We serve the Lord when we serve those in need. We serve the Lord when we are attentive and always ready to serve those who are close to us. That's the healing that we need. That's the healing that the world needs even today. And the Lord said, let us go and preach to all the villages and all the people. They need to know as well. We are the witnesses. We are those who are going to show the world that in many ways is sick. That our world needs healing. May we be the ones, the instruments, that they lead the world to Jesus so that we all might be healed and might be ready to serve the Lord.